You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Wednesday, May 7th. Lack of childcare remains a big problem in Clatsop County, especially at younger ages. On Monday, the Astoria City Council extended a lease for one of the county's largest childcare providers, hoping to provide further stability as the daycare looks to land key grant funding and continue operations. Bumble, which provides care for infants through preschoolers, leases the old Yacht Club building at the base of Astoria's South Slope from the city. Their lease was due to expire in 2027. Owners Amy Atkinson and Angie Jonish requested an amendment to extend the term until 2030, with an option to renew for an additional 5 years. City Councilor Vance Lump noted that lack of childcare can be a huge barrier for people working in the county. He said he supports anything the city can do to keep Bumble successful, feelings echoed by others on the city council, including Mayor Sean Fitzpatrick. Bumble's enrollment is at capacity, with around 77 children. The daycare also has a substantial wait list. But Jonish says they are hoping to expand. Bumble has applied for a grant through Business Oregon that would allow them to purchase a house nearby. If successful, this would allow Bumble to transition the infants currently enrolled at the daycare to the house, opening up 25 toddler spots at the old Yacht Club building. Across Oregon, school districts large and small are facing another year of multi-million dollar budget deficits. OPB's Natalie Pate has this report.
Portland Public Schools is bracing for more than $40 million in cuts for next school year. Eugene 4J is preparing to cut at least $19 million. And Reynolds School District in East Multnomah County may lose over 100 educators and cut 10 school days from next year's calendar. School funding is a national problem. It's partly due to a declining birth rate. Fewer students means less funding for schools, and schools are costing more to run. Federal COVID money that helped many stay above water in recent years is gone. State lawmakers are at a critical tipping point as they reimagine Oregon's school funding structure. And federal funding used to be predictable, but recent threats are putting the future of American public schools in doubt. Natalie Pate reporting.
Last week, a forum was held for candidates running for the Tillamook and Nestucca Valley School District boards, as well as candidates for the North County Recreation District. Hosted by the American Association of University Women, the forum primarily featured discussion on promoting safety in schools. For the Nestucca Valley School Board, incumbent Irene Barajas is facing a challenge from Sherry Hartford for the Position 1 seat. Barajas runs a child care program and previously served on the district's budget and health committees. She highlighted her work to improve the board's communications during her tenure and said that more needed to be done to reduce bullying of marginalized and minority students. Hartford is a property manager and has experience on the Hebo Health and Sanitary Board. She said that as a board member, she would be committed to transparency, student safety, and would want to let parents be more active in Nestucca Valley school buildings. Seth Belzy is running for position 2 on the board. He has a background as an entrepreneur and said that he would prioritize better communication if elected. Jason Hagen is running for position 5. He said his main concerns are student safety, board transparency, and stabilizing the district's finances. Hartford, Belzy, and Hagen all mentioned their concerns about reports of sexual abuse not being properly handled by the district. Last spring, a Nestucca Valley School District teacher was charged with sexually abusing a minor female student in his classroom. Tomorrow, KMUN will have more on the candidates running for seats on the Tillamook School Board. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. The Trump administration has been turning down requests for disaster assistance following floods, windstorms, and fires. Washington is one of the states to be denied federal help with little explanation. KUOW's John Ryan investigated the federal government's shrinking role in disaster relief.
After last November's bomb cyclone toppled trees and power lines around western Washington, cleanup crews sawed through the destruction. Here, tree crews cut up a pair of massive Douglas firs that fell on a neighborhood in Shoreline. After tallying the damages, state officials declared an emergency and asked the federal government to declare a major disaster. That would open up the spigot for federal assistance. Karina Shagrin is spokesperson for the state's Emergency Management Division.
FEMA will reimburse up to 75% of the costs, whatever the disaster might be.
Washington State asked for what's known as public assistance from FEMA. That's the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
So roads, bridges, debris removal, utilities. So any public infrastructure falls under public assistance.
In April, the state got its answer. No. FEMA gave no explanation.
No one can recall a time that we have met the indicators and been denied public assistance.
FEMA has been denying more of these requests than it used to, and it's unclear why. The agency does have a per capita threshold for deciding when to pitch in. Yet Washington State's bomb cyclone did more than twice the damage needed to qualify as a major disaster. Governor Bob Ferguson said the state would appeal.
This is exactly the kind of a situation that FEMA would historically support. And they're not doing it, and they're not providing any reason.
While FEMA makes recommendations, the final decision on disaster aid rests with the president. Ferguson told KUOW he was concerned his state was being politically targeted. KUOW asked FEMA about the bomb cyclone denial, and an unnamed spokesperson wrote back. They said it was policy, not politics, and pointed to recent denials in red states. The agency has not responded to subsequent interview requests for this story. While we don't know what's going on inside FEMA, we do know the results. This year, President Trump has denied 6 disaster requests and at least partially approved 6 others. Sarah Labowitz researches disaster policy for the nonprofit Carnegie Endowment.
We're obviously seeing multiple states have their requests for disaster declarations get denied.
Until this year, when governors asked for major disaster help, they almost always got it. KUOW looked at FEMA data for the past 20 years. We found that major disaster requests were approved 85% of the time. This year, Republican governors of Tennessee, Virginia, and Arkansas's Sarah Huckabee Sanders have been turned down.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, being Trump's former spokesperson, I think makes that denial all the more noteworthy.
Arkansas's entire congressional delegation, all Republican, has urged Trump to reconsider.
I'm sure all the states are watching to see what happens with Washington and Arkansas.
Michael Cohen was FEMA's chief of staff during the Obama and Biden administrations.
FEMA is the one agency in the federal government that is there for the American people on their worst day.
While chainsaws can cut through disaster debris, they can also cut through disaster spending, at least metaphorically. Billionaire and White House advisor Elon Musk wielded a chainsaw on stage at a conservative rally in February.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy. Chainsaw!
The Trump administration has been slashing regulations and firing staff at many agencies. Trump has long said he'd like to get rid of FEMA.
I say, you don't need FEMA. You need a good state government.
In April, the White House proposed quadrupling the cost threshold for major disasters, meaning most of Washington State's disasters, including the bomb cyclone, would not have qualified for major federal aid. Disaster experts say with hurricane season about to start in the east and wildfire season in the west, impacts of a smaller safety net could play out very soon. I'm John Ryan reporting.
Today in Astoria, the city will be conducting a waterline repair on Grand Avenue in Uppertown. Grand will be closed from 24th Street to 29th Street from 9 a.m. to about 2 p.m. or until work is completed. Residents on Grand Avenue west of 29th Street will have no through vehicle access during the repair work. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@KMUN.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at KMUN.org.